Hey everybody, welcome to another haunted episode of Songs in the Key of X. I'm your host, Jeffrey X. Martin of Biff Bam Pop, and I'm not bored, I'm just really tired. That's all there is to it. Just been doing a lot of stuff, so if I sound weird, that's why. We're still in the 31 days of horror. They're not over yet, probably won't be for a while. I mean, wait till Christmas rolls around, because that's the scary shit right there. Movies have music, by God, it's true. And if some movies are scary, then they must also have scary music. Now, I'm not talking about the orchestral scores. I mean, these are songs with words that for some reason are in these movies. Because, you know, when I think about unstoppable killing machines who wear masks because they're deformed and impossible to kill, even with a machete or a tomahawk, or by forcing them to diagram sentences, I think of pop songs. Feast your ears on the sounds of the season, this season, because it ain't Christmas yet, damn it. Retail stores, put your lights and your trees and your inflatable snow globes away. You'll get your time. This is my time now. Number 5.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, 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 bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone.
Bum, 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 bum.
Don't have nobody.
From Halloween 2, that is the Cordettes with Mr. Sandman. You know, this is actually a pretty good song, and it's not like it was made specifically for Halloween 2. The song was recorded in 1954, so I really only have one question. What the hell's this song doing in Halloween 2? I mean, does it mean something? Is it supposed to be relevant? Was Michael Myers supposed to be the Sandman? Because that's the only way this song makes any sense within the context of the movie. Look, Halloween 2 came out in 1981. The cool kids were not listening to 50s white girl doo-wop in 1981. I know this because I was a kid in 1981. Was I a cool kid? I don't know. Probably not. Doesn't matter now. The real question is, what the hell does the Sandman have to do with Michael Myers? He didn't put people to sleep, he killed them. Which, I don't know, death is like sleep? Maybe, except you don't wake up. Besides, why didn't they call him the Sandman in later Halloween movies? And the song's talking about someone cute. I mean, Michael's not cute, as far as we know. He wears a mask most of the time. See, in my head, he's not the Sandman, he's the shape. Well, Mr. Sandman's a decent tune, I just don't know why it's in this movie, and it's always been a source of confusion for me. Maybe you get it. Maybe it's okay for you. It's not. I don't understand. Number 4.
We're going on now.
A ball break, walking hand in hand in the moonlight. We'll be the sweet soul there. I swear we'll never part.
We're going on now.
A ball break, running in the sand, feeling all right. And when you fall into my, I'll break into your heart. I can hardly wait to head for the dunes. Spread down a blanket from the sweet love tunes from yesteryear.
From the 1984 movie The Mutilator, that's Peter Yellen with his piece of music, Fall Break. What a jaunty little song this is. It's got kind of a nice Holiday Road vibe to it, doesn't it? And, you know, at least this isn't a summer sort of movie about teens having sex and being viciously murdered. It's a fall sort of movie about teens having sex and being viciously murdered. Now, for a low-budget flick, it's got some pretty creative kills. I mean, it's got... do you know what a gaff is? It's like a big fish hook on a stick, like on a pole. I mean, I guess you use it to catch whales or something. It's huge. The Mutilator is a pretty grim flick to have such a happy song as its theme. It's about survivor's guilt and vengeance and fishing, and the identity of the killer is pretty messed up. So by all means, enjoy the groovy little driving tune and just try to forget it's from a movie about a filicidal maniac at a beach house. You probably do want to know about Peter Yellen, the guy who performed the song, right? Well, he worked with Abel Ferrara a lot. So he was in Ms. 45 and The Driller Killer, so reap on that knuckle sandwich, because that's kind of awesome. Number 3.
Ted is in the dining room, sorting through the news. Mama's at the shopping mall, buying new shoes. Everybody's got something to do, everybody but you. Come on and dance with me, dance with me.
Joe Turano, ladies and gentlemen, with his contribution to the movie Night Train to Terror, Everybody But You. Now, this movie is terrible. This movie is a prolapse. It is the combination of two movies that were edited together badly into some kind of anthology, sort of. I guess it's supposed to be scary. It's not, but it's the framing device that really makes this movie some kind of blunderful. See, there's this train, and on the train, there's God and the devil, and they're telling each other stories. They're trying to decide who gets which character from each of these pseudo-campfire tales that they're telling. God and the devil are boring inside me. So why the hell there are a bunch of kids on this train singing a song is beyond me. They do. They sing. They dance, they break dance, they play the saxophone, and they're singing about going to the mall and buying shoes. What does that have to do with divine judgment? Do you get sent to hell because you're bored, because you've got nothing to do? I mean, obviously everybody else has something to do, like stand before the Bema seat and meet their maker on a train, while the cast from a syndicated children's show bops around and makes fun of you because you're not out being a consumer. It's ridiculous. Now, this is nothing against Joe Turano, of course. He did some more soundtrack work, and if I found the right Joe Turano on the internet, he's an accomplished jazz musician who worked with Al Jarreau for almost 20 years. That's really impressive, but it doesn't change the fact that Something to Do is a piece of gray fluff on top of the turd that is Night Train to Terror. Maybe it's the best thing about the movie. That probably says a lot. Number 2.
Jet black eyes, baby, they stare while you sleep. When your Titanic sink, I'm the one you gon' meet. Hearing terrified screams, they surround my team. All you see is trails of blood. Either God won't intervene. Nightmares of darkness, my appetite is heartless. Even if we related, you eliminated regardless. In the deep blue underwater walls, half man, half shark, my jaws don't fall. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin.
There's a certain amount of respect in horror circles for the killer shark movie Deep Blue Sea. It's got a Die Hard kind of setup, thanks to director Rennie Harlan. It stars Thomas Jane, who is still the best Punisher, in my opinion. Samuel L. Jackson's in the movie for a while. He gives one of the best motivational speeches ever filmed. It just doesn't last long enough. But the movie also stars LL Cool J as a chef. LL Cool J also provided the ending song for Deep Blue Sea called Deepest Bluest. Now, for some reason, the entire song is from the point of view of a shark. Maybe. It might be a guy pretending he's a shark. Cool J says his hat is like a shark's fin, which is cool, I guess, if you like to dress up like a great white. We get a clue about the character singing the song with the line, "Half man, half shark, my jaws don't fall." Now, this makes sense in context with Deep Blue Sea, in which the sharks are super smart, genetically enhanced thanks to some DNA sorcery, but I don't remember any of the sharks in the movie wearing hats. So what I think we have here is a song by beloved 70s cartoon character Jabberjaw.
Jabber, 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 jabber,
jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber, jabber,
He played drums in a band. I'm pretty sure he wore hats. Now, he never talked about ripping his friends apart with his multiple rows of razor-sharp teeth and trails of blood streaking through the churning water, but this is the only way I can make this song make any sort of sense. LL Cool J, the J stands for Jabberjaw, an LL Cool J shark who raps and eats people. There's not enough booze in the world to get this song out of my head. God, I wish there were. Number one.
Desperation, understanding, destination isn't ending. Desperation, understanding, destination isn't ending. Get the saw, 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 get the saw.
The 1976 horror movie Island of Death, that is Destination Understanding by Dacus. It might be Dacus. Some sources say it's Dacus, but IMDb lists the song as uncredited. It's probably better, to be honest. I'm not so sure I would take credit for the song. The lyrics are written by the director of the movie, Niko Mastorakis, and he wrote the movie, which has the distinction of being the most banned movie of all time. It was a video nasty back in the 80s, and when you watch it today, it's still pretty rough. Two people who might be brother and sister, they might be cousins, I'm really not sure. Anyway, they go on a killing spree, and they murder everyone that they consider to be sinful on a small Greek island. It's a nice vacation, kind of a anti-Joe Perillo tour. There's transphobia, golden showers, bestiality, and a general feeling of yuckiness that just permeates the whole film. And right in the middle of it, this song, Destination Understanding. I honestly don't know what's going on here, because it almost sounds like a protest song in some parts, but then the chorus talks about understanding as if there's some sort of wisdom to be gained from all this violence. And then the singer starts screaming, "Get the sword!" in the chorus. And what does it mean? Why would you write a song called Destination Understanding and then make it impossible to understand? I mean, if it was called Destination I Don't Get It, then I'd be right on board with this. But there's a pattern here, and that's really happy songs buried in movies where awful things happen all the time. I guess maybe there's some irony there, or some sarcasm. Maybe it's just terrible choices. I'm going to vote for the latter on that issue. Look, I know you want to hear more of these awful songs, and you can do that with the video links provided below, because I love you. It's a sick, dirty kind of love, but it's still a kind of love. Leave me some comments, because you know you want to. I encourage you to just do it. Write the things. I mean, there are probably things you think, and you're like, oh, I'll get to it later. Just do it now, because why wouldn't you? Keep reading Biff Bam Pop for all the pop culture goodness, especially during the 31 days of horror. There's so much going on, I can barely keep up. Believe me, I try. That's it for this week. Go do something scary and listen to happy music while you're doing it. My name is Jeffrey X. Martin. You have been listening to Songs in the Key of X, and until next time.
He's got a critical madness, the questions that we're left alone to grow. He's got a critical madness from being places none of us should go. With love's strong, gentle hand, he could have made